Makeshift Stories presents Somewhere, Sometime, an irregular series of short bedtime tales and modern fables.
Although this is episode number 42, we are humbly not going to reveal the key to the answer of life, the universe, and everything. Instead, we are presenting a story very, very loosely based on The Emperor's New Clothes, with a modern twist. So, please sit back and open your imagination as we listen to Makeshift Stories 42, The Citizen's New Town. Somewhere and sometime, there may have been a malfunction that helped reveal the truth.
Amber mindlessly scratched at the scar over her left eyebrow. The annoying puffy little red line seemed to broadcast its presence everywhere she went. It said, to anyone who cared to look, "Hey, I'm newly connected, and I don't know anything." Frustrated, she wondered when the mark would go away, and had long ago decided not to go back to work until it did. She was tired of explaining to almost everyone that she met that, yes indeed, she had been connected since birth. She was not a recent arrival from some backward colony, and, oh yes, chips do fail. "Just wait until your turn," she wanted to say. But Amber knew there was less than a 1% chance of that ever happening. She had just been one of the unlucky ones. Most people simply gave her their insincere condolences after she had explained. Amber secretly suspected that they were happy that the stats had worked in their favor. The implant tech had claimed that the telltale incision mark would fade in less than a week. Yet, here she was, more than 10 days beyond that again, and her scar still proudly glowed on her forehead, making her feel shunned by every stranger she met. Even her closest friends still winced when they saw her. And, to add insult to injury, the new chip now seemed to be acting up, frequently dropping its connection to the world grid. Tied to the grid since birth, all citizen consumers stored many of their important memories on it, and were so intimately tied to the thing that it was hard to imagine life without it. Offworlders generally didn't have the enhancement, and on many colonies like the distant Jovian moon Europa, the procedure had been outright banned because of early accidents. But compared to an unenhanced colonial, a terrestrial connected to the grid was like an intellectual giant, able to instantly call on immense stores of information. So it was no wonder that everyone looked down their nose at offworlders or recent implants. Amber looked impatiently around the uncomfortable waiting room of the med center. She had been there 3 times now, and each visit had ended with the same result. They had run diagnostics and pronounced that the implant worked perfectly. Most likely, she was just experiencing prolonged anxiety adjustment to the new symbiont chip, which basically meant that Amber must be imagining things, and, more pointedly, perhaps an appointment with a resident psychologist was a more appropriate prescription. But Amber had stubbornly refused to accept the diagnosis. She knew that the new thing they had placed in her head was malfunctioning, and was determined to complain until they agreed to yank it out and replace it. Then she'd stay home, where no one could see her until the scar was completely gone.
"Miss Lacombe,"
a thin, gender-neutral voice calmly chirped over the intercom.
"The techs can see you now, in examination room 4.
Amber slowly rose, every joint in her body stiff from her 3-hour-long wait on one of the waiting room's hard plastic chairs, and worked her way through the crowded waiting area to a green door with the Roman numerals 4 roughly stenciled on it. Not hesitating, she pushed through it to find an implant tech, and surprisingly, a Dermatech representative already crowded into the cramped space. Amber noticed that the examination table had been set up for an implant procedure, and was about to ask about it when the Dermatech rep motioned for her to sit down.
"Ms. Lacombe,"
he began in an earnest tone,
"on behalf of Dermatech, we'd like to apologize. When MedTech Centers reported that you hadn't been able to bond with the new implant, and that you had been back three times complaining about grid dropouts. You can rest assured that it caught our attention. We had a perfect acceptance rate on our midlife replacement units, until you. We'd like to remove your chip and run some tests, and, naturally, for the inconvenience, we are prepared to offer you a free upgrade to a beta version of our next-gen model, with hyper-connectivity. It's going to be a very rare enhancement that will only be released to the luxury market.
The Dermatech rep gave Amber a wan smile, as if to say that she would never be able to afford one on her own. Despite the unexpected offer, Amber was still mad about the embarrassment that the defective implant had caused, so she wanted more.
Thanks, but no thanks. Unless you throw in plastic surgery. I've lost too much time at work already, and I don't want to go back just to have my staff staring at my forehead.
The rep hesitated, then shook his head. Amber quickly added,
"You said I'm the first failure, so I wonder if the news feeds would be interested."
The rep's face turned red, then grudgingly motioned to the implant tech.
"Okay, I guess we can cover the scar removal. Make the arrangements,"
he impatiently commanded.
"Now we're getting somewhere,"
Amber muttered as she clambered on to the examination table.
"We can talk about compensation for my lost wages after the operation."
Amber woke, feeling alert and full of energy. Her external memory recall was faster and more precise now than it had ever been, but there was a lingering shadow of disturbing images that floated frustratingly just outside of her recall. She made a mental note to record her dreams next time, then instinctively touched her forehead. She sighed with relief. The reconstructive surgery had worked. The telltale incision mark was gone. But her apartment seemed somehow different. It was as if someone had come in overnight, applied a coat of grime, and cut the room in half. With a shrug, she got up and dressed, then looked in the mirror. An older Amber stared back. It must have been the stress of dealing with the defective implants, she decided, and cursed herself for not pushing for additional anti-aging drugs on top of lost wages. Despite the exorbitant expense, Amber was determined to accelerate the treatments, and if she was lucky, in a week or two, she'd be back to her normal self. Unexpectedly, her avatar chimed. It seemed like weeks since she'd last heard its familiar, comforting voice in her head. Until recently, she hadn't realized how intertwined her life and her online data had become. But when her comm implant had failed, it felt like a major part of her brain was missing. All Amber's important meetings, dates, and long-term memories were stored online. As she connected, Amber had the sinking feeling that she'd forgotten something important.
"Good morning, Amber,"
the avatar enthusiastically trilled. The artificial intelligence sounded particularly syrupy today, Amber noted.
"Should I display the entire day or just the highlights?"
"Please display the highlights."
A luminous grid of times and appointments poured through her mind. With an increasing sense of anxiety, Amber began to scroll through the day's schedule. So much had piled up while she was offline. An appointment alert flashed red, vying for attention. Amber apprehensively asked it to open, then her heart almost stopped. She had forgotten. Today was a grand opening of the new city center development. She had been hired by the event organizers to stage direct the opening ceremony, and she was almost late.
"Sorry, Amber, I didn't have full connectivity until this morning, so I couldn't remind you. But don't worry, I've already called a taxi. You can still make it. Also, I have an update from Dermatech for your new comm implant. It's marked immediate and urgent, so please stay connected while I download and install it."
Amber's avatar politely requested.
"This won't affect my senses, will it? I can't afford to make mistakes today. The last update distorted my hearing and threw my balance off."
"This is a low-level patch to fix some minor data correction errors. There may be some partial perceptual impairment."
Amber told her avatar to hold off on the patch for now. By the time the taxi chimed in her ear, she was ready, Amber checked herself in the mirror. She didn't look as old as she had initially thought.
Must have just been my state of mind. I won't need to spend my savings on extra treatments after all.
The thought cheered her up as she rushed out of the apartment. The new town center rose in a bundle of glittering spires above the surrounding gloom of the old city center. It was the showpiece of Intersolar Transglobal Corporation. ITC had bought the decrepit abandoned city core 3 years before. The place had become a slum for the unconnected off-world immigrants who couldn't afford the expensive implants that were automatically given to native Earthborn and paid for over the adult life of an individual. Off-worlders had to pay for the procedure up front, so all but the wealthiest had remained unconnected and subsequently unemployed. The city core, located adjacent to the spaceport, had, over the years, become a nexus for the unconnected, a dangerous place where few locals would dare to travel, and even fewer dared to communicate with its crazed, disillusioned population. Recently, Dermatech had joined with ITC to clean up the festering wound at the heart of the great city, agreeing to provide the implant procedure to all the disconnected for a healthy share of the new city center profits. It was a revolutionary partnership for both, one which, if successful, would eventually be employed across the planet. Amber's taxi glided up to the back of the temporary stage area that had been hastily erected around the main entrance of the new gleaming city center. She impatiently swept her hand across the payment pad, then rushed to the small staff's door. There, she stopped briefly to let a security bot perform a retinal scan and register her in the system. An acknowledgement of her identity and her check-in time flashed briefly in her mind.
7:55 a.m.
She had made it with 5 minutes to spare. Now it was time to collect herself and start the setup for the show. Amber fought her way through a confusion of stagehands, rushing about, making last-minute preparations. Today's event would be streamed live across a global grid and was expected to garner a huge world audience. Other major cities and corporations were closely watching, considering similar projects with ITC and Dermatech. Amber deftly dodged a harried makeup artist, then edged around a large mobile concession stand that had taken up residence outside of the green room door. Waiters were rushing back and forth as she poked her head into the VIP area. Rarely positioned in plush leather seats, being fussed over by nervous attendants, the CEOs of Dermatech and ITC relaxed. It had been a coup of sorts for the event organizers to convince these two famous but reclusive executives to cut the virtual ribbon to the new development. Around the edges of the green room, lesser assistants and city executives, tickled to be in the presence of two such powerful figures, anxiously chatted. Amber waved and grabbed the attention of the green room coordinator, gesturing him over. After confirming that all the VIP presenters had arrived and signing off on the list, Amber headed to the control room where she'd be directing the opening ceremonies. She tried to quickly make her way through the immense operation. ITC had spared no expense on the lavish unveiling. It was to be on a scale proportionate to the immense accomplishments of the project, and meant to impress even the most jaded corporate rival. The spectacle was to be remembered for years to come, making the ITC brand synonymous with the visionary revitalization of the planet's aging cities. Amber finally arrived at a thin, retractable ladder that looked like it was attached to a rudderless helicopter. She quickly climbed up and squeezed through a small hatch in its bottom, then slipped into her chair, testing her connections as she settled in. The new comm chip worked flawlessly. She smiled. She wouldn't need to rely on the banks of awkward manual systems she had installed when her birth implant had first started acting up. Her confidence grew. Controlling the show through her upgrade would guarantee almost perfect timing. Amber gazed out of the large curved window of the control booth. Suspended several stories above the gathering crowd, the molded carbon fiber and plastic gondola afforded the most comprehensive view of the upcoming spectacle. Everything appeared to be going as planned, and Amber felt herself begin to relax. She sank back into her chair and waited for the rest of the crew to arrive.
2 minutes. Cue pre-show.
Amber signaled through her comm chip to the waiting techs. The gigantic vid screens that ringed the new town center entrance, blocking the view of the structures behind, began to come to life. They broadcast vids of the old town center, overlaid with statistics about the size and scale of the problem. Once they had cycled through the opening sequence, hollow projectors flickered to life, extruding a three-dimensional model tracing out the new city in luminous detail. Bubbles of text percolated out of the transparent landscape and floated over the stage, proclaiming the benefits the project had created. As the text began to fade, Amber sent commands through her implants to stagehands to cue the podium. The plan called for it to be craned out over the stage while the audience was distracted by the hollows, then to descend on invisible carbon fiber filaments to the deck. It would appear to the audience to have materialized from nowhere and float down out of the hovering 3D model, defying gravity. Amber checked the timing. The podium was a little early. Only she would have noticed. But Amber made the adjustment anyway, imperceptibly slowing its descent. By the time the podium made a gentle touchdown, fully loaded with its executive cargo, the show would be in perfect sync. Amber signaled for the agitators, randomly hidden amongst the crowd, and on cue the masses began to cheer. Tiny self-propelled vidcams flew like bees from a hive to spread out and start streaming images of the event to the global grid. Every cue planned in painstaking detail months before began to unfold. Amber monitored the chronometer in her mind as it counted off the seconds, each marked with multiple complex events. The agitators had brought the crowd to its planned peak as the master of ceremonies rose to give the opening remarks. Then, without warning, Amber thought she heard a snap, and a knifing pain raced through her head. She winced, instinctively leaning forward to prop her head in her hands.
"It's a chip. The stupid beta chip they implanted,"
she loudly complained, as the other event staff in the booth turned in alarm. Painful spots floated in Amber's vision, forcing her to close her eyes and finally put her head down on the director's console. One of her staff, a young holotech, jumped up to help her.
"Wait, give me a minute. I think it's passing,"
she agonizingly exclaimed and motioned the tech back to his station.
"After the ceremony, I've got a mind to let Dermatech's CEO know what cheap junk they're jamming into people's heads these days. Are we still on cue?"
"More or less," an assistant coordinator anxiously replied. "But the MC looks like she might run over." Even through the pain, Amber could still see the missed chronometer cues roll by. Although it hurt even more to connect, Amber sent a command to one of the stage managers, insisting that he signal the speaker to wrap up. With her eyes tightly closed, she tried to concentrate on the next cue. Once the CEO started speaking, she would have time to pop a painkiller and send a message to her lawyer about suing. There was a planned but restrained applause as the MC gave the podium over to the heads of Dermatech and ITC. Amber cued the voice and volume enhancements, then leaned over and asked for a painkiller. After a moment, one of her staff handed her a glass of water and a pill, which she instantly downed, then impatiently waited.
"Stockholders, guests, and citizen customers, welcome, welcome all, to a new city."
The words enthusiastically echoed around the vid screens, which had been intentionally placed to resonate the voices of the speakers. With her head still throbbing, Amber gestured to an assistant to cue the planned audience agitators and reinforce the crowd's response with discreet sound effects. Cheers and claps rose, then on schedule quieted as the speech continued.
"This is truly the dawning of a new age, a new chapter in urban living and renewal."
The giant vid screens changed to show views of the revitalized district, populated with happy employed off-world residents.
"ITC, our investors and partners, have accomplished in 3 short years what was thought previously by City Council to be impossible. We have taken a forgotten festering hole and created an example of what can be accomplished with the right vision and partners working together.
On cue, more cheers rose from the audience. The pain behind Amber's eyes started to fade along with the spots. She raised her head from the console, trying to get her eyes to focus, cursing the new implant. It had probably failed quality control. That's really why they had given it to her for nothing. And now, the flaky piece of junk had almost cost her the show, she angrily concluded.
Dermatech and MedTech centers are going to have to pay for this.
She tried to focus on the chronometer clicking in her mind and realized that she was still in time to direct the complicated grand finale. Waiting for the last two lines of the speech, Amber cued the holoprojectors to play the virtual fireworks loop. That would be the cue for the selected, newly scrubbed off-world citizen employees of the town center to come onto stage, bringing flowers that they would lay at the feet of the dignitaries on the podium. The vid screens would then appear to go transparent, slowly wiping down to reveal the newly minted gleaming streets behind. With the cues in place, Amber focused her attention on the stage in anticipation of the grand reveal. When her vision finally cleared, she shook her head, trying to make sense of the bizarre scene that was unfolding in front of her eyes. When it persisted, she snapped at her staff.
What are those things crawling onto the stage? Stop them! Now!
She screamed loud enough to cause some of the audience below to look up at the booth. Startled, the entire control room staff stopped what they were doing and stared at her in confusion. A lighting tech next to her gave Amber a concerned pat on her shoulder.
Amber, are you all right? Those are just the new town citizens bringing the flowers. They're on cue. Everything's okay.
Amber pushed the man's hand violently away.
Are you all blind? Look!
She urgently pointed to the giant stage that was slowly being engulfed by a sea of decrepit, barely human figures, dressed in rags with worker barcodes emblazoned on one side of their chests and Newtown logos on the other. Sometimes having to push each other up, like ants crawling over a crumb of food, the starved and diseased-looking bodies kept flowing onto the stage, dropping their loads of dirty bricks, then crawling back into whatever hellish place they had come from. On cue, the vid screens went transparent, revealing a panorama of decay. Words failed Amber. All she could manage was a whimper of surprise.
The city. What's happened to the city?
No one else in the control booth reacted to the ugly scene. Amber leapt from her chair, then stretched over to the front window to see the crowds below.
They don't see it.
She was confused. Why did everyone just seem to ignore the nightmare that was emerging around them? Amber looked closer and noticed that even the crowds were dressed in rags. The scene before her had entirely changed, except for the podium with its sparkling load of expensively dressed VIPs. Looking up again to make sure that the receding ruins hadn't been a mirage, Amber caught a glimpse of a frantic older lady reflected in the glass.
Who let her in?
She complained. Angry and confused, Amber turned to where the woman should have been standing, but no one was there. As she looked around the booth, she noticed that her staff had abandoned their stations and were now cautiously surrounding her. Everyone and everything in the crowded space had somehow become more run down and threadbare.
Come on, don't you see them?
She desperately protested.
Just look out there, the city, the people. Nothing has changed. It's a trick. They didn't do anything at all. All defective like the junk they've stuck in my head.
Amber's crew remained silent. She thought that they had all been hypnotized as they slowly edged in toward her, cutting off any chance of escape. Amber anxiously looked from eye to eye. She had known some of these people for years, but had never before felt such a coldness from them. The lighting tech tried to console her.
Amber, please, stay calm. Your implant's malfunctioning, causing you to hallucinate. We've called MedTech centers, and they sent an ambulance. Everything's going to be fine. The show's fine. There's nothing to worry about.
As the man reached out for her, Amber desperately grabbed the public address control system, linked to it, then screamed,
"Are you all crazy? Don't you see?"
She felt a tingle in her arm. Then Amber's vision narrowed into a tunnel. Someone had injected her with sedatives. She cursed. Then everything went dark.
"Miss Lacombe, how are you feeling? You've had a massive failure of your comm link, which triggered a cascade of malfunctions in 3 other critical neural implants. For a while there, we weren't sure if you'd make it."
A calming voice whispered in her ear. Amber's eyes jumped open. She found herself in a pastel-colored room with rounded corners. The walls were decorated with pristine rural scenes, and pleasant music and scents calmed her nerves. No one was in the room. The voice had come through her implant. She began to remember the pain, then reached up to a sore spot on her forehead and winced. The incision was fresh. With difficulty, Amber slowly lowered her feet to the plush carpeted floor. She stood on uncertain legs and wobbled over to the window to look out. The glass towers of the new city center reflected the noon sun, forcing Amber to shade her eyes. A pain shot through her head, momentarily blurring her vision. And when it cleared, the perfect towers were gone, replaced by the sobering view of an aging wall of sooty bricks. The door clicked open behind her, and Amber swung around to see an orderly dressed in a stained, dirty smock.
"Ah, Miss Lacombe, it's good to see you on your feet again. We were all worried. Dermatech, of course, is footing the bill for this beautiful room while you are recovering."
The orderly waved his hand around the grimy little chamber. The tranquil room had been replaced by a narrow gray concrete bunker with bars on its windows.
"Their rep said he will discuss a generous compensation package with you once you are fully recovered. Have there been any more incidents?"
He smiled, showing off a mouthful of yellowed teeth. Amber noted that several were missing, then hesitated before replying.
"No, everything's okay."
"Good. The neurotech said that once you stop hallucinating, you can go home."
"Everything is fine, just fine,"
Amber repeated.
"No more hallucinations. Everything is, well, everything looks real to me now."
Amber politely smiled at the man and crossed her fingers behind her back.
Thanks for listening to Makeshift Stories 42, Somewhere, Sometime, The Citizen's New Town. We hope you enjoyed tonight's story. If you did, please tell your friends about us. We'd love to hear from you. So, send us an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. All sound effects are licensed from soundsnap.com, and the opening theme, Glimpse of Happiness, is PodSafe Music licensed from premiumbeat.com. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivative License, which means you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.